Church, I think you can all hear me. It's great to see you this morning. We're going to continue looking at Ephesians chapter 2, as we saw on Good Friday, God's extraordinary love for us. And now we're going to understand that through Jesus' death and his resurrection, we have peace. And as Andrew said, that's something that we all are searching for. I pray, and then we'll have a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let me pray. Gracious Father, you are so good to us that you gave your one and only Son, that through his death that we may have forgiveness of sins. But now, Lord, on this Resurrection Sunday, we are made alive in the Lord Jesus. Through his resurrection, sin and death has been conquered, that Jesus rises in victory. And Lord, that victory is ours too by faith in him. And Lord, through that victory, you are making peace. We have peace with you and we have peace with each other, a peace that lasts for all eternity. Father, help us to understand and delight in your goodness to us this morning, that we respond with thankful hearts and trust the Lord Jesus, for in him is our peace. Amen. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Okay, who knows the song? Yeah, it's at the back. Yeah, that's great. John Lennon sang that song. All right, here's the words. We're going to do it together. You ready? All we are saying is give peace a chance. Now, when you hear the music, there's a tambourine. Ali, next time we found a song for the tambourine. I should have given you a warning. Anyway, a little bit of fun to start. But it is a song that seeks what we're all after, which is peace. Now, that song became an anthem for the anti-war rally in the 70s and beyond. Peace marches around the world adopted the song as its battle cry for peace rallies. Go figure. But it's a great hope, isn't it? It's a great sentiment. It's a great desire in all of us for peace. More than that, just that relaxing Saturday morning. We all want peace, don't we? And this week we'll again celebrate peace as we enjoy here in Australia. It was a hard-fought peace that came at the expense of many young lives at war. We are a peaceful country compared to other countries around the world. And so we are appealing to people who seek refuge from war and other atrocities. We maintain our peace through relative stable government, except the odd sacking of our PM. But our government is relatively fair and democratic, elected, where law and order is maintained, where corruption is the exception rather than the norm. Rallies or protests, even though they're disruptive, like the one in Melbourne recently, they're still generally peaceful. We are a peaceful country. Even for Christians here, generally, we can gather peacefully as we are today. Unlike many brothers and sisters around the world, doing it tough, being physically threatened, tortured, and even tragically killed because they allowed Jesus to call the shots in their life. Yet peace today can be fleeting. War still rages in countries. Hostility between different religions and cultures flourish. The evil of violence has sadly entered the home, and the horror of terrorism, murder and abuse, that complete disregard of others, is everywhere. And but a thought away, as we heard on Good Friday, for that problem is deep within inside each one of us. Now, I wonder, how do you define peace? Or how does the world define peace? Well, I think it's simply the absence of trouble, isn't it? If things are stable or there's no unrest or wars, then there's peace. Or we think of peace as a feeling of calm, or as Andrew said, that idyllic waterfall somewhere up in Thailand or Vietnam, somewhere tranquil like that. That's our picture of peace. I think you're all picturing that now, aren't you? Yet there is a sad cycle to life, isn't there? That follows times of tragedy where there are moments of peace. People do come together, united in the grief, following acts of violence or murder or terrorism around the world. And we express that peace in floral tributes, don't we? with candles and messages of thoughts and prayers. Or we put up lasting memories like the Twin Towers in New York City. We remember the victims like one of my friends whose name now is carved in bronze and stone. But such peace doesn't last. The cycle's the only thing that is guaranteed, isn't it? There'll be peace, there'll be war, there'll be peace, there'll be unrest. There'll be more floral tributes, there'll be more memorials as peace is broken again and again around the world. Because of our deep heart issue of sin that is in each one of us. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Well, friends, there is good news, and we can find true peace more than a John Lennon song. It's biblical peace. For such peace is far more meaningful and everlasting. Today we're going to see that peace in God's eyes is much bigger. It's much more concrete. Peace is relational. Peace is victory won by Christ Jesus at the cross. Where evil had been defeated, where Satan has been disarmed, where death has been conquered. And where the master of sin and its power has been defeated once and for all. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus. For he brings peace, lasting peace, eternal peace, as we'll see. See, friends, when the gospel of Jesus, his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, comes to town, walls fall down. The walls of hostility crumble. Barriers between people and nation crumble. We can know and have peace. And we're going to hear all about this wall in our passage today. This wall that will crumble down because of Jesus. This letter to the Christian church in Ephesus is about God's grand plan that covers the past and present and future, that spans the entire cosmos. It's that big, right down to the very nitty-gritty of our everyday lives. And what is God's plan? I'm glad you asked. All things, all people will come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, where true and everlasting peace is found in Jesus, the suffering, risen King. That's God's big plan. That's what he's working out in the world, is that everything is going to come under the lordship of Jesus. And that's where we find peace. Now, in order to see how God will come good on his plan, as his promise, we pick up from Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 11. We are firstly reminded we are nobodies before God. Let me read from verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you were who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. See, before the gospel came to town, it was not pretty. Once there was a wall that you and I couldn't climb over. There was a wall you and I couldn't walk around, and there was a wall that you and I couldn't dig under. There was a wall, and it was bigger and more hostile than the Berlin Wall. It divided people into two groups. On one side, the Jews, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, and on the other side, the Gentiles. That's really people like you and me. And what does that mean to be divided? Well, at the heart of it, it means that we are separate from Christ. We are not part of God's people by default. We're foreigners. We are without hope and without God. It's bleak, isn't it? Verse 13 and 17, Paul goes on, we were once far off. We were down the back of the bus. We were foreigners, we were aliens. And Paul is saying, we do not belong, we are not included, this is not for you. We are cut off from God. That's where we start. As you know, Ryan, our American son-in-law, he's always good for an illustration. I'm going to use him again this morning. He currently misses out on the privileges of an Australian citizen. He can't vote. maybe a good thing in a couple of weeks. He can't get student help at uni. He can't get health care. He is to Australia still a foreigner. He's an alien. But we'll have him. We'll keep him. But the thing is, none of us like missing out, do we? Back then, if we weren't Jewish, you were missing out. Remember before the gospel came to town, there was a gigantic wall that stood between Gentiles and God, a barrier between people like you and me and God. It was a barrier of hostility. We were like enemies. There is no true peace between men and enemies, is there? That's how we are before God. If you've been a Christian for a while, it's easy to take for granted what has been given to us by Jesus. But equally, if you're not a Christian here today, it's not good to be cut off from God. To know there's a wall, a barrier between you and God, it's not good. So those descriptions in verse 12 can be confronting. I'm without hope and without God, a foreigner, an alien, hopelessly cut off from God of the universe. Why? Because of our sinful nature. In the past, you may have been a nobody, or hearing you're like a nobody to God is offensive, but the truth is, in God's eyes, you are a somebody. That's what I wanted you to hear this morning, that you are a somebody. For God loves you and he's committed to everyone who's created in his image, and that is you. Even though we're cut off and maybe a nobody, you are a somebody. You're a somebody to God. Look at verse 13. If you're following on in your Bibles, or Volan's got it up on the screen. See, verse 13 is a complete and utter game changer. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. There is hope for us. See, it describes our new identity, go from without hope and without God, being cut off, a nobody, to being brought near by the blood of Christ. As we heard on Good Friday and just before in our passage, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, meaning separated from God, it is by grace you have been saved. Friends, you are a somebody that Christ died for, that shed his blood for. But now, today, we celebrate, was raised from the dead for. God's wrath was satisfied so you may know God, and here's the good news, you can be at peace with him. That wall of hostility is broken. Now made alive in Christ, we share in Jesus' victory over sin and death. And it's a free gift, and it can be yours by faith. As I said, that wall of hostility between God and us due to our sin has been broken, been destroyed once and for all. That cycle that we live in this world can be broken. We can know peace. We can have peace. Lasting peace. Verse 14, for Jesus is my peace, is your peace if you trust in him. And now he's our peace. We can share in this peace together. So it doesn't matter if you're a hipster or a nerd, if you're an Asian or an Anglo, whether you like steak or fish, whether you like AFL or NRL. I had to get that in there. We can share in this peace of Jesus. You were a nobody. You're now a somebody that Jesus died and rose again. For he is our peace who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. I have great memories of our international dinner here a few years ago. Who can remember that night? It was a great night. We had 15 different nationalities in this church eating together. In peace, that only comes through Jesus. Some of those nationalities have been at war with each other. But now, we express what we shared in common, which is Jesus, who is our peace. For he destroyed the wall of hostility between God and us and each other. No matter who you are or where you're from, we can have peace with God and each other. As I said, we will celebrate the peace we enjoy here in this country again on Thursday. Celebrate the courage, the peace that of this nation basking in because of the sacrifice of fallen men and women in war. In Ephesians 2, we see that now peace is a person. His name is Jesus, who sacrificed his life for us. But as we keep on reading, not only is Jesus our peace in verse 15, he himself made peace. And now as we continue through this, Paul reminds us, verse 17, Jesus came and preached peace, those who are near and far. See, in a world that is trapped in a cycle of terror and war and violence, that has come too close to our shores and has sadly entered our homes, what a comfort to know that real peace, genuine peace, is not only made but also being made known. And that's what we're doing here. And in churches around the world today, that peace is a person. Peace is found in trusting the risen Lord Jesus, and all who do, that wall of hostility, like the Berlin Wall, not only crumbles, it's removed every last brick. There's nothing between us now and God, and now and each other, than peace. What a comfort, especially when we're tempted to find peace in all sorts of different places, or in someone or something other than Jesus. See, in a world where we want world peace, where we want peace of mind, where we want inner peace, where we write on our tombstones, rest in peace. And we look to chase after those things for peace in other people. We think we can experience peace after we've worked ourselves down to the bone and the list of all our accomplishments. And finally, when we sit back and enjoy that peace, well, friends, all along, peace has been staring you and me in the face. It's not found in achievement. It's not found in things in this world. It turned up 2,000 years ago from heaven. The only reason we can have peace is that God made peace with us. Once a nobody, now a somebody, and we'll see, we're now part of something bigger. See, God's grand plan is to unite all things under Christ. That's us. And the main thing God wants to unite, as I said, is you and I, the union of peace with God and with each other. And God's purpose is to create himself one new humanity out of two. Remember, we were two separate groups. And in Christ, he's making one humanity, one new group of people. It's a grand plan. It's a spectacular plan, something breathtaking. Out of the rubble of those knocked down walls of hostility, God is building an entirely new humanity. One we cannot forget, being identified as Jews or Gentiles. We're now a new family. We're now called Christians. That's what we are. Marked in the union of peace through the precious blood of Jesus that washes us clean. That peace is now secured by Jesus' victory and being raised from the dead. He's defeating the power and the penalty of sin, removing all reason for hostility, so that peace can now reign. My identity really now is I'm a Christian. At peace with God, I'm reconciled. I've been adopted by my Father in heaven. I've been forgiven from all my sins. What does this new humanity, this Jesus-shaped community look like? Now, we don't always get it right. Not always going to be what we want to be, but one thing's for sure, we're not going to be what we used to be. This is a community, a family, where peace rules rather than hurt or harming. It's a community where the redeemed rub shoulders with one another no matter what. Where the reconciled do life together. Where the adopted share in family life. Where greed gives way to generosity. where selfishness gives way to servanthood, where the walls come crashing down because of Jesus and stay down because of him, where true peace can be found now, no matter what race or culture or background. All we are saying is give peace a chance. See, we long for peace, we hope for peace, and we can have peace now and forevermore. Friends, I want to leave you with this final image of this new community, this new humanity that God builds. In the book of Revelation, a vision is given by God to John, one of the apostles. It's a vision of heaven. It's found in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Friends, God is building an eternal community through Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins that brings life. We are made alive in Christ now and we have eternal life. It brings peace now and eternal peace for all who believe and trust in Jesus. Friends, will you give peace a chance today? Will you give peace a chance between each other? Will you give peace a chance amongst your friends by telling them that peace is possible? It's found in the Lord Jesus. And my prayer this morning is that we'll leave here as people who have found peace, that inner peace of your heart that's been reconciled and washed clean to God because Jesus died and he rose again, destroying the wall, that hostility between us and God and each other. And friends, that is peace. Let me pray. Father God, in the quietness now of our hearts, may we know your peace. Lord, may we know that that peace comes through Jesus' death for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, it's made powerful because Jesus was raised from the dead. Father, I thank you that we can have peace with you and each other, that you are forming a new humanity, a new community, a new family that we can be part of now and forevermore. And Father, as Jesus came and preached peace, may we preach peace as well. May we be people of peace, because Jesus has shown peace to us first. Father, again, we praise you and thank you for the Lord Jesus, that you gave him so that we may be forgiven, and you raised him so that we may have life now and forevermore. For there we find peace. Amen.